Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that discusses current events in the life of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. This is the Christmas week, and of course, at this time, we focus on the coming of Christ around 2,220 years ago in Bethlehem of Judea. But whether directly or indirectly, this program is always centered on the coming of the Messiah, in that Jesus came to be the king, to rule the nations, to set up a kingdom, to enlist his citizens from every tribe, language, people, and nation. As Jesus said to Pilate, "You say correctly that I'm a king, for this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And remember Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. Jesus is the ruler of the kings of the earth. And Revelation chapter 19, verse 16. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Magi came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is he who is born King of the Jews?" They understood the purpose of the Messiah, to set up a righteous, everlasting kingdom. Do you understand these things? If you do, Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things will be added to you. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 4, whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom. And Matthew chapter 6, verse 13, for thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. And Matthew 24, 14, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end shall come. You know, we think of Jesus as Lord and Savior, and so he is, but we often forget that he is also our King. Maybe we don't think that way because we don't live in the age of medieval kings. Or maybe that just sounds so political and earthly. Or maybe we just think the kingship of the Messiah is just a Jewish concept. But God has taken the form of a man and entered into the human race. And the Lord Jesus Christ will have a physical kingdom in this universe. And he will rule as our Lord, our Savior, our brother, and our King. Isaiah chapter 9. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given, and the government will rest upon his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, the Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Or how about Psalm chapter 2? But as for me, I have installed my king upon Mount Zion, my holy mountain. I will surely tell the decree of the Lord. He said to me, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." You know, I hope in all of our discussion about current American politics, we have not lost sight of the goal. We are citizens of Christ's new kingdom, and we are sent into this world to be ambassadors of that kingdom, and recruiters for that better country where righteousness dwells. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth, in which righteousness dwells. Not just for a better America, but for a completely new heavenly kingdom. Ronald Reagan said that America is the last great hope for the world. Well, I understand what he was saying by that, but it really isn't. The real hope is the kingdom of Christ, that which was established when Christ arrived 2,000 years ago, and that which will finally be established when Christ returns. we must remember that any of our work to save America from her corruption should only be for the purpose of advancing the kingdom of Christ, winning souls for Christ. If that's not our purpose, our labor's in vain. We would then merely be polishing the brass on the Titanic. The goal is actually to get people into the lifeboats and off of this sinking ship, whether they're in this country or in any other country. Well, okay, I get it. While we're directing people to the lifeboats, we may work to slow down the leak in the bottom of the ship. But again, that is only to give us more time to load the lifeboats. It's not so that we can patch up the ship so that the ship can go on indefinitely. What do I mean? Well, as Christians, we may lobby for righteous laws so that America does not become so dark and depraved, so that we continue to have the freedom to preach the gospel. But the end game is never to save America. The goal is the kingdom of Christ. And you and I know that too much conservative political activism is earthly, fleshly, sensual, Christless. Now, we appreciate the push for righteous laws, but to leave out the gospel and the kingdom of Christ is not only an exercise in futility, it's actually a lie. Now, the reason this program, God and Country Radio, chronicles the nonsense going on in Washington is simply to awaken people to the sin and corruption of this world, so that people would find their deliverance and salvation in another kingdom, the kingdom that Christ came into the world to establish. So have you become a citizen of Christ's kingdom by faith and repentance in Christ? Or as Paul preached to the politician, King Agrippa, in Acts 26, have you turned from the dominion of Satan to God? Consider Isaiah chapter 26. O Lord our God, other masters besides you have ruled us, like many presidents and kings. But through you alone, we confess your name, King Jesus. Revelation 1:5, the ruler of the kings of this earth. Well, let's now talk about some of the nonsense that's going on in the kingdom of man. Some more updates on this election nonsense. You know, I'm not going to disappoint you by leaving off the latest developments. But let's remember the purpose for exposing this corruption: to point people to the kingdom of Christ, to the coming of the Messiah. I have three stories here which illustrate the corruption of unsaved, unregenerate men. First, the Voter Integrity Project. Second, the Trump campaign's appealing the Pennsylvania case to the Supreme Court. And third, the two voter machine audits, one in Michigan, one in Georgia. First, the Voter Integrity Project. After the election on November 3rd, Matthew Brainard saw the irregularities and started a project called the Voter Integrity Project in order to do a forensic review of this presidential election, to discover if the marginal number of votes given to Biden in this election were legal. You know, in every election, there are illegal ballots. People who are non-citizens vote. People who have moved out of the state vote out of state. People who are felons. But what happens if those illegal votes are greater than the margin between the two candidates? Especially when those illegal votes favor one candidate. And in this case, it would be the Democrat Joe Biden. Now, historically, a third party has never done a forensic audit of election votes. Why? Because it's too expensive, too time-consuming. Often the marginal victory is so great, finding a few fake votes isn't going to make any difference. And few people have the expertise to do this kind of investigative research. I mean, where do you start? Well, in steps Matthew Brainard. Now, I'm sure we've all heard of Matthew Brainard, right? No, of course we haven't. Because he is one of those people raised up by God with the skills and the motivation to be at the right place at the right time to accomplish God's work in this world. And that's an amazing thing, how God is raising up certain people to challenge this election. His bio, Matthew Brainerd, is originally from Georgetown, South Carolina, is a graduate of George Washington University. He has worked through three election cycles at the Republican National Committee as a political analyst, and he's also worked as an analyst for pollster Frank Lutz. He is an Ironman triathlete, has an advanced open water diving certification, and is an award-winning short story writer. He's the president of the Brainerd Group, which provides services in voter targeting, polling, fundraising, and web development. So while some conservatives are sitting at home watching old Gunsmoke reruns, Matthew's busy. And being busy, he's ready to be used of the Lord. So Matthew had some ideas on how to audit this election and detect fraud. And after suggesting to his 200 Twitter followers and to other experts that here are some things they need to look into, he found himself being the one to do the work with a team of 9 people. And what he did was look into the voter rolls, target and physically call the voters. And they found people the state recorded as voting, but who will swear in affidavits they did not vote. People who got absentee ballots when they didn't request one, which is against the law. In Arizona, 44% of the people got an absentee ballot even though they didn't request one, and it was 13% in Michigan. Then Brainerd's team looked into people who changed their address by looking at post office change of address cards, and then these people voted in the wrong district or state. Many of these voters who moved out of state discovered that someone else voted for them under their name and old address. Thousands of voters fell into this category. The project also found people who double voted in 2 states. And they found people who used P.O. boxes as their voter registration address, which is illegal. You have to give a physical address. And many of these people did this with the intent to deceive by putting above the P.O. box number the name of fake apartment complexes. And of course, these people overwhelmingly voted by mail, and you could guess why. Then in Wisconsin, they have a very stringent absentee ballot law. To get an absentee ballot, you have to register under indefinitely confined. In this election, there was a spike of 170,000 people who registered as indefinitely confined. And the Integrity Project discovered that at least 44% of these voters lied. They were not indefinitely confined. So the conclusion of the Voter Integrity Project is that the United States cannot have any confidence in the 2020 election. The number of illegal votes surpassed the margin of victory in Wisconsin, Georgia, and Arizona, the 3 states they studied. And the Integrity Project has hard evidence to prove it. But here's the rest of the story. When Matthew Brainerd was raising money for this project through GoFundMe, they raised $220,000. And then GoFundMe shut them down and returned the money to everyone, claiming that the Integrity Project made false and misleading claims. Yet the Integrity Project never said Trump won or that the project wanted to flip the election. They only stated that they were going to do a forensic analysis of the election. GoFundMe lied and then took them down for political reasons, because GoFundMe is a left-leaning company. And they don't want voter fraud exposed because they don't want Trump to win. You know, these people on the political left, they talk to each other and they plot how to stop the exposure of voter fraud and irregularities. And Matthew Brainerd was in their bullseye. So Matthew had to go over to a Christian funding site, GiveSendGo, and they raised $590,000. Let me give you 3 quick sub-stories on why the left is doing everything in their power to get Trump out of office. Number 1, The Trump administration is withholding $200 million in Medicare dollars from California because California passed a law requiring all insurance companies to pay for abortion. And the federal government had warned California for a year that that violates federal law, but California refused to rescind that law, so the Trump administration can respond now by withholding federal funds from California. So for this reason, leftist politicians really want to get rid of Trump. Here's a second sub-story. President Trump just appointed 18 conservative leaders to his 1776 commission, which is a government agency to teach American history and counter the lies of the New York Times 1619 Project, which depicts America as founded on racism. And the left hates this new commission, along with the fact that Trump has stopped the federal government from paying for racist critical theory employment re-education. And here's a third sub-story. Trump is seeking to overturn Section 230 of the Communication Decency Act. That's the section that allows social media giants to operate as providers, not publishers, so that they will not be sued for the content people put on their sites. But now that these social media giants are censoring conservatives, they should lose their Section 230 protection because they're now acting as private publishers rather than just being a neutral provider like the telephone company. And so the tech giants want to get rid of Trump for this reason, because Trump will take away all of their power to censor conservatives. And this is probably why YouTube, which is owned by Google, made a statement that they're going to take down any YouTube that questions the results of the election. They don't want Trump to win. Now, this battle against Trump is not because of his personality. It's because of his faith-based, Christian-based policies. Now, here's the second big story. The Trump campaign is appealing the Pennsylvania case to the Supreme Court. The lower court judges in Pennsylvania threw out the case, saying it's not substantial, even though the evidence of illegal votes and illegal procedures were clear. And the story of corruption here is that we found out this week that the Supreme Court would not hear the Texas case against the election fraud in these swing states because of Justice John Roberts. He was afraid of riots. An aide standing outside the door when the justices were arguing whether or not to take the Texas case heard one justice saying, you know, what do you mean we shouldn't meddle in elections? We took the Bush versus Gore case back in 2000. And then John Roberts angrily said, there weren't rioting in the streets back then. And this statement has shocked patriotic Americans. Because the role of the court, especially the Supreme Court, is to do what is right regardless of public opinion. If Roberts is cowering because of BLM protests and Antifa protests, then these terrorist organizations have achieved their goal, intimidating Americans and politicians to do what they say or else. So these justices are allowing a small group of radicals, probably less than 1,000, to control the laws and the policies in our country. And Roberts is following this secular law positive philosophy of Oliver Wendell Holmes, that law is a function of what the public wants rather than a function of God's higher principles. And whenever you think that way, you give way to the mob. And this is the source of much legal and political corruption in our country. Now, finally, a third story that illustrates that evil abounds. The forensic audits of the voting machines in Georgia. Remember, there was an audit of the voting machines in Michigan by the Allied Group, a Christian company. And the audit found that the Dominion machines were not secure, that 68% of the votes went for adjudication to some unknown operator. Well, this audit of the Georgia Dominion machines by a company called ProV&V found that there were no problems with the machines. But ProV&V has had a long relationship with Dominion Machines. They were the company that certified these machines in Georgia in the first place. And you can't have a company that was paid to certify the integrity of the machines turn around and claim that the machines have no integrity. Now, what the Pro-V&V audit said is that they found no signs of cheating. Well, the same thing was said by the Michigan audit. There were no signs of cheating because the cheaters erased the data from the machines. But nevertheless, the audit showed that the system cannot be trusted or verified. The Pro-V&V audit in Georgia didn't address that issue. The point is this. In these audits, in this controversy over the integrity of the election, people see what they want to see. Those who want the Democrat, Joe Biden, to be president and his leftist policies say that there's nothing to see here in this election fraud. Those who want the Republican, Trump, to be president and his conservative policies say there's everything to see here. And this is just more of the battle between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of man, the battle between the darkness and the light, the battle against the corruption that is in all of these earthly kingdoms. Augustine, a theologian from the 5th century, wrote his great work, The City of God. And in it, he explained this conflict between the kingdom of Christ and the Christians versus the kingdom of Satan and the unsaved. Quote, "Accordingly, two cities have been formed by two loves. The earthly by the love of self, even to the contempt of God. The heavenly by the love of God, even to the contempt of self. The former, in a word, glories in itself. The latter in the Lord. For the one seeks the glory of men, but the greatest glory of the other is God. The one lifts up its head in its own glory. The other says to its God, Thou art my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. In the one, the princes and the nations it subdues are ruled by the love of ruling. In the other, the kingdom of God, the princes and its subjects serve one another in love." Unquote, Augustine, around AD 425. Here, Augustine was helping the Christian community of the 5th century make a distinction between their earthly nation and the heavenly country of which they are citizens. Now, Christians need to promote righteousness in earthly kingdoms, but we need to detach ourselves from being too connected to the world. And of course, we need to remember this, especially this time of year, when we're reminded of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, our King, for he came to start a new kingdom and to be the Redeemer King of a new sort of people. A born-again people who are changed in their nature and are filled with the Holy Spirit. Jeremiah 23, "Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in the land. And in his day, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely." Well, that day has come. Jesus Christ has inaugurated his new kingdom. And he's seeking citizens for that new kingdom. And you and I are invited to leave this world, to be saved from this perverse generation, and become citizens of heaven. How? By repenting of sin and unbelief and confessing Jesus Christ as your Lord, your Savior, and your King. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The radio website to listen to this program again or other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for redeeming us and becoming our King. May we keep before us our heavenly citizenship. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.